Good morning.
Good morning.
So as I said, Jaco and I have been in England, and I think everybody's heard that expression, mind the gap. You know, you're in the subway station. And the English, kind of like the Japanese, have these sort of admonitional recordings that they do. The elevator doors are now closing. Mind the gap. See it, say it, sort it. So they have these various things that you hear over the announcement system. But, you know, I wanted to talk about this mind the gap, which I've always thought was kind of an intriguing idea. So in England, there's the mind the gap, mind the stairs, mind the steps. You see these signs all over the place. So basically the idea is that it's saying, please pay attention, something that unexpected may happen here. You know, you may hit your head on the stairs. So when I was going up the tower in Westminster Abbey, which is, it wasn't Westminster, I think it was in Yorkminster, 270 steps up this medieval winding stone stairwell, and there would be like a sign that say, mind the head, right? Mind your head. So, and of course the famous one, which is on the train platform in the subway, they say, mind the gap. So, and then it has a little, usually a sign that goes with it that says, you know, don't get your suitcase caught because it will hold up the train. So, you know, these gaps or spaces are places where things kind of fall through, where things can fall into, they can get caught in something, or they create spaces that can be filled or closed. So this idea of mind the gap is pay attention. You know, pay attention. You might hit your head. And so this attention is to warn us that we might get some kind of nasty surprise in our lives. So, you know, Dogen talks about the gap, too, in Uji. Uji means being time, and for those of you who are not familiar with Dogen, he's the 13th century founder of Soto Zen in Japan. And he wrote a lot of stuff, but in particular he wrote a fairly extensive text called Shobogenzo, True Dharma Eye, which has, in its largest version, I think 99 chapters. So one of those chapters is called Uji, or Being Time. So that's where he talks about this idea about gaps. So he says that we have gaps in our perception, the way we perceive the nature of time. And that he says that's a problem. So in a sense, this is minding the gap. Minding the gap between your perception of time as something fleeting that goes past, and as time is something that is our life just as it is in this moment. Most of the time, we experience our lives as kind of flying past. Most of the time we talk about time, we're talking about time as if it were something sequential, past, present, and future. We're talking about it as something that is going past. But we don't usually think about the aspect of time in which we're talking about being completely grounded in our lives as it is right now. So this perception of time is fleeting, in the time of just this, when we are not able to hold both of those things simultaneously, or maybe in a way in which we're not able to appropriately experience these two aspects of our lives, Dogen's saying that's a gap. That's where there's a gap. And that gap is a problem. And that if we can't, to say as the English do, mind that gap, we will be in delusion, we will experience delusion, and we will experience suffering. So if we realize that we're caught in this kind of one-sided version of our lives, so, and I also say, don't get caught here when I'm talking about this, thinking about time as some kind of philosophical thing, but thinking about time in the way of getting caught in only thinking about time from this the time and our being from this perspective, a kind of very self-centered perspective, where it's always something we're trying to catch up to. Because what Dogen wants us to do is he wants us to relate to our life as this experience right now in this moment. So that's what we're talking about here. So he says, you know, this, if we can't also include in our perception of the time of our life, right, not a philosophical idea, but how we actually relate to our life, our life's passing, our life's being, other people's lives in relationship to our lives, other things being, right, the being of a teacup, the being of your cereal bowl, the being of your TV set, the being of your cell phone, whatever it is, the being of objects outside of ourselves, both animate and inanimate. There's this way in which all of that is the same being in time that we are. It's not different from us. Because it is something that is happening simultaneously with our own being time. So when we're only caught in our minds with just this kind of narrow perception of our own lives, that's a problem. So we have to widen that out so that when we're actually experiencing this present moment, it's inclusive. It has to be inclusive of not just our own experience, but a kind of curiosity and willingness to allow the experience of everything that's happening. You know, I have some tomato plants that I bought, and they're not doing very well right now. And I was looking out the window, and I thought, those tomato plants are my being time. Those tomato plants that I am also responsible, I am also must include them in my life, right? That they are my life. They're in my backyard. I bought them. I went to the nursery and I bought them and I planted them. So this way in which we can't exclude the things that are around us, because in my case, I don't particularly want to go out right now and try to figure out what's going on with the tomato plants. But right? It's like, this is my life. This includes my life. This moment of my life also includes tomato plants. So this gap is when we can include both the kind of busyness of our lives, the kind of get this done, am I doing this, what's in my calendar, what do I need to do, and this complete presencing of ourselves in our life as it is right now. This is closing that gap. So we are, part of our practice is about closing that gap. I wrote in the book that I wrote about this commentary, I said, when we experience another being's time as our immediate being time, the gap that prevents us from experiencing the intimacy of all being time is closed. So when we experience another's being time as our immediate being time, so in this case I'm talking about the tomatoes plants in my backyard, right? If I experience that being's time as my immediate present, as my also part of my being time, then there's this, it closes that gap, and when that gap is closed, it creates a kind of intimacy. So when that gap is closed of me looking out my window and seeing those tomato plants and actually realizing that those tomato plants are completely, completely my being time, that I have this total responsibility on a certain level. I mean, the tomato plants also have their own life of tomato plants. And it might be that there's nothing that I can do to make these tomato plants a happy beings in my backyard. But on the other hand, I have this responsibility to pay attention to what their needs might be versus what my desire might be to go sit and look at my emails or do something else, right? So this way in which I'm closing that gap, this intimacy of what is it, this intimacy of what is needed in this moment, whether it's convenient for me or not, what closing that gap of completely experiencing that moment. So this closing of the gap creates empathy, right? It creates a kind of empathy that we have with ourselves. It's our shared experience. In my notes, I wrote shared humanity, but it's beyond humanity. It's also the whole world, right? Everything in the world. So it has to also include the things that are not just the things that we think of as being sentient or insentient. It includes everything, right, that we interact with. Everything has its own way of being. So there are ways that I'm going to interact with this bell that are different than the ways that I might interact with something else. But it's always based on that question of, what do I need to do to take care of this bell? What do I need to do to take care of the shovel that I use to dig up my backyard? What do I need to do to take care of the people of my life, right? How do I need to respond to each given situation? So this is this closing the gap that comes from actually setting ourselves into our life as it is right now. In Uji, Dogen writes about the gap. Here's what he said. He said, pine trees are time, so are bamboos. You should not come to understand that time is only flying past. You should not only learn that flying past is a function inherent in time. Okay, so that's usually how we experience or think about time. If time were to give itself to merely flying past, it would have to leave gaps. You fail to experience the passage of being time and hear the utterance of its truth. For Dogen, and in our Buddhist practice, everything that we encounter is a sutra. Everything that we encounter speaks the Dharma. So that includes other people, it includes the people that annoy us, right? It includes the tomato plants, it includes mind the gap, it includes anything that you can name is the sutra telling us about the nature of our experience, about our lives and about all of life, all of being, everything interacting together. So he says, you fail to experience the passage of being time and hear the utterance of its truth because you learn only the time is something that goes past. So the only way that we can understand the utterance of the truth of our lives is to actually close that gap and enter into our life. Right? We can't skip across the top of it. We actually have to enter into our lives. So we think about lives as managing time. We think about our life as aging. We think about our life as birth and death. But that's only one aspect. So we have to go beyond that. On the other hand, you know, are included in this. We have this one vision, this kind of vision of cosmic time, if you will, being time in which everything is this mandala interacting, everything that you can name, everything that you can see, everything that you can't see, what's known and unknown, is all interacting together, making this world, right? Everything is happening together, making this world. And this is this kind of altruistic activity of the world supporting itself, supporting each thing through its activity. Everything supports everything else through its activity in this altruistic sense. And yet, simultaneously, we can only see what we can see. Right? As human beings, we have a certain perception. There's a sutra that says something along the lines of, see if I can remember this. When dragons see water, they see this bright golden light. When human beings see water, they see something to drink. So this way in which demons see water and they see fire, right? So this way in which we all kind of perceive our environment in a different way. So, you know, yet at the same time, acknowledging that, I think what gets in our way is, in this lecture, talking about two things. One is that we're caught in our story. We're completely caught in our story. This kind of mental description that we have, that we're telling ourselves about our lives. And we don't actually stop and live each moment. So the example I want to talk about being caught in our own story, is Friday morning when I was sitting Zazen. And our Zazen admonition is to stay present. That's really the admonition of Zazen. We have our eyes open, not wide open, but our eyes are open. And we're keeping our mind in the present moment. And so I was sitting Zazen, and I had my eyes closed, and I was like so totally not in the present moment. I mean, of course I was in the present moment because I can't be anywhere else. And at the same time, I wasn't present. Have you had that experience? It's kind of like you mentally hunker down. You know, your eyes are closed. It's like, oh, and you're there and you're thinking about something or having a fantasy or goodness knows what, but something. And I noticed that it's so all-encompassing that I am not here. It's like it so much takes over my mind that I'm not in the present moment. And of course, our admonition in Zazen is, don't beat yourself up. Don't tell yourself you can't sit Zazen. Don't have all that stuff going on. No story. Just come back to the present moment. That's all. Just come back to the present moment. So that's what we do, right? We keep coming back and keep coming back. But the thing I thought was interesting was the part about, if this is true in Zazen, right? If this is true when we're sitting here meditating, what are we doing in the rest of our lives? What are we doing in the rest of our lives when we're so caught in our story about the perception of what's happening around us that we can't see anything else? So this way in which maybe we're not literally have our eyes closed, but figuratively or metaphorically, we do have our eyes closed because we can't see anything beyond the story that we have. So this totally entering into our lives is closing this gap. Dogen's saying, enter into your life. And when you enter into your life, it has to include the totality of everything else that's going on. Now, perceptually, we can't include the totality of everything else that's going on because it's not possible for us. So I just don't think we have we can think of it, but it's hard for us to perceptually perceive that, right? Like, I can't see atoms when I look at this. But I know, scientifically, I know that they're happening, right? That that's part of this whole thing. But what can I perceive? You know, what can I wake up to? How can I pay attention to the totality of the other persons? And usually it's about people, right? But we know environmentally, it's not just about people. It's about the totality of our environment. Because as human beings, we've been so blind to the reality of what we've been doing because it's all been about us. So incredibly self-centered. This closing your eyes, you know, and going into this kind of story in your mind that's so encompassing is this kind of selfish, self-centered way. And part of that's just because we're foolish human beings. We don't understand. We don't get it. And then we do get it. And that, you know, that's like, please wake up. Please, even though it's inconvenient, pay attention to that. You know, inconvenient is like such an understatement. So this way, Dogen's saying, close the gap, wake up, fully present yourself for the totality of your life, which must include everything else that's going on in your life, not just your own little story. Wake up to that. So there's that, being caught in our story, and not actually stopping and being in the moment. So here's a little story about us going on our trip, which is that we, you know, when you go sightseeing, sometimes you get really caught in this whole thing of, I got to see this, I'm in London, oh, I've got to go to the Tower of London, I've got to Westminster Abbey, I've got to do this, right? Well, we didn't get quite caught like that, but we did go to see a few things. And one of the places we went to see was Westminster Abbey in London. So, you know, that's the place where whenever there's like a big wedding, the royal family has a wedding, we see, you know, the Westminster Abbey and the choir and all the stuff, or some big funeral or whatever. So Jock and I were staying in Bloomsbury, which is kind of off the beaten path, and we got around where all this stuff is happening, and it was like packed with people, packed with tourists, hundreds of people standing in line to get into this place. And we got in there, and it was like, you know, when you see it on TV, it's like this long transept or apse, and it's long aisle, and it's like you're this big cathedral. But the reality of it is that you get in there, all the side aisles have been kind of divided up for tombs, okay, because it's like filled with tombs, with mausoleums and tombs. And they're all in these little side aisles and apse. So you're in with these other tourists just kind of like in a line, you know, just going around like this, you know. I wanted to see Elizabeth I's tomb, and it was like that. She's, okay, here we are, going around, out the other side. So, you know, there was this way, I think, Jocko and I were like going, well, you know, it's like we're not experiencing this in a way. It's like it's so kind of just about, it was so hard to really connect with our life, right? It's hard to connect with what was happening, what we were seeing, what we were doing. And in this experience, and I think that's one of the things about sightseeing that can happen to you. It's kind of like a stone that skips across the top of the water, right? So, but we want to go down, right? We want to go in and actually experience this experience. Some ways it's like, otherwise it kind of like, what are we doing? I think Jock and I had this question. We said, like, what are we doing? You know, what's happening here? You know, how are we experiencing this? The other thing we did was when we were in Scotland is we went to this island called Iona. And there's a monastery there that I think was built in the 600s. And, you know, Iona was much more moving for us, I think. And I think in part because although we only had 2 hours on the island, because it took us quite a long time, we had to take a bus trip and ferry and all this stuff to get there. And but we were outside. It's like we had to walk down, after we got off the ferry, we walked down a long road. And we got to the abbey and there were fields and this ancient church and there weren't so many people around. And there was this way where you could actually settle into being there, walking, being, feeling your feet on the earth, feeling, hearing the birds, being outside, and being in this older building where you could feel the, at least I felt, the sense of the ancestors who'd been there, the people who had worshipped in this place for hundreds of years. And there's currently a religious community there now. And this sense, deeper sense. And I think partly the whole thing about Westminster Abbey was it was, in London, it was really hard to seep into that because there were so many people. And it was so much about do this, go here, move there. Too many people can't see the whole of it in a way. And being at Iona, it was more like there weren't so many people. We were outside again. We were like touching the earth, right? Mm-hmm. We're actually touching the stones in some way. And I think that's part of this business about actually living our lives is this, you know, this. Touching the earth of our experience. Feeling our feet on the ground, right? Feeling the air. Feeling and being in the presence of the totality of the experience that we're having. Feeling a kind of reverence and stillness. Making space for that in our lives. Making space for that. And, you know, even if it's like you're studying for an exam or something, or we're rushing out the door to work, you know, this way in which we just take this moment to connect. 2 seconds, connect. 2 seconds, thank you for this book that I'm studying. 2 seconds, you know, thank you for this job that I have, even though I kind of hate it. You know, this way of just taking this moment, you know, of being present for our lives. So this traveling for me, and I think for Jocko too, we had this sense of we wanted to close the gap. You know, in some ways, part of the dialogue of this trip was, how do we close the gap? How do we do an activity that actually creates a sense in us that we're experiencing something here that isn't just about my bucket list, you know? So this passage of time that we're engaged in, Dogen said, if you fail to experience the passage of being time and hear the utterance of its truth because you learn only the time, only that time is something that goes past. So this deep dive into your life. And this deep dive into your life really is just experiencing your everyday life. Just completely presencing yourself for your everyday life. It's, in a way, it's like, it's so hard to do, but it's not woo-woo. It's not a woo-woo experience. It's not a, you know. It's just this way of just saying, okay, what is it? What am I doing right now? What's happening in my life right now? What's happening with that other person? You know, what's happening? That person is annoying me. Can I really be present for that person? Can I get out of my own story about what's going on? You know, and just say, what is it? Have empathy and realize that we're foolish human beings. Jocko has brought this expression into us right from Shin Buddhist to say, you're foolish human beings. Isn't that true? You know, it doesn't let us off the hook, and yet at the same time, it explains so much. So we're kind of holding these two things at the same time. I am a foolish human being. Oh, I just screwed up again. You know, I'm not present for my life. I'm not able to be in this moment and really ask the question, what is it? I'm just so totally caught in my own story. And it happens so fast, right? It's like when you're sitting zazen and you're in that hunkered down place in your mind, did you notice how you got there? You know? It's like, bang, suddenly you're there. And yet, we can also wake up, come back, come back, come back, come back. So this is closing the gap, coming back, coming back. And zazen itself, you know, is a wonderful practice for this. Zazen is a practice of faith, I think. You know, we have this practice, we say, sit zazen, come to the zendo. So I encourage, I welcome all of you, right, to come to the zendo and sit zazen with us. So, you know, you sit zazen, and it is an act of faith because each time you go and you sit down, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know whether you're going to hunker down into this mind state. You don't know whether you're going to keep coming back. You don't know what's going to happen. And yet, you just keep coming. And sometimes your mind says, oh, I am so bad at this. I just can't do this. Other times your mind says, wow, that was great. And usually it's great because you didn't notice the time went by. It's when you notice every second going by, you're saying, I am so struggling in this moment. So, but all of that is superfluous in a way. Because what is happening is a kind of magic that's happening underneath all of that. And that's that faith part. It's the faith part of, I believe in what's happening underneath this. And what's happening underneath, what's happening both underneath and consciously, is closing the gap. This closing the gap. So we have to make effort in closing the gap. We have to put ourselves in that space of closing the gap and make effort. And at the same time, as foolish human beings, can't do it all the time. Just can't do it all the time. And yet we say, I keep coming back. I forgive myself and I forgive everybody else. And I just keep coming back. All of us show up, being asked to show up and make that effort. Okay, so I wrote in my notes, I said, you know, our experience as human beings is probably always going to be a struggle. Bummer. I thought, should I say that? Should I say that? It's not like it's every single moment is a struggle. But don't you find as a human being there's always something? Do you remember Roseanne, Rosanna Dan? Some of you remember Saturday Night Live? It was a skit back in the early life of Saturday Night Live, and it was like, you know, Rosanna, Rosanna Dan, there's always something. Always something. And that's true, you know, there seems like there's always some kind of struggle, there's always something that we're angsting about that's a problem for us. So we have to kind of recalibrate all the time. You know, we kind of have to remember this gap between our desire to kind of escape and our desire for intimacy and our desire to make this effort and our desire to not be responsible, not take care of the tomato plants. You know, this way that we say, yes, I'm. This is my effort. This is what my practice is. So, I think that's my lecture. You know, it's like, mind the gap. Mind the gap. Thank you very much for the English subway system. Thank you.